Anti-vaccine activists are at a crossroads. The COVID-19 pandemic that brought energy and support to their movement is now fading from public life. But as NPR's Lisa Hagen reports, some are trying to build a legal apparatus to keep the anti-vax cause alive. A warning, though, there is strong language at the beginning of this story.
More than 250 lawyers from around the country met up in Atlanta recently to share strategies on the best ways to sue over COVID-19 vaccines and mandates. The conference was funded by a wealthy man named Steve Kirsch.
My goal is to expose every single one of these.
Kirsch is a tech entrepreneur who made hundreds of millions of dollars after founding an early search engine and helping invent the optical computer mouse. He's wearing a custom black t-shirt that reads, "Misinformation Super Spreader."
Our definition is it's someone who's basically pointing out the truth and it just happens to disagrees with the mainstream narrative. We're known as misinformation spreaders because what they're trying to do is they're trying to control the narrative.
They refers to a network of pharmaceutical companies, governments, doctors, and journalists he argues are covering up a pandemic-driven plot to poison the world for profit. To be clear, the scientific consensus shows COVID vaccines are safe and significantly reduce the chances of death or serious illness.
I'm curious, I'd like a show of hands, how many people have come to these issues through COVID?
Kirsch's legal conference is a mix of people who've advocated against vaccines for years before the pandemic, and people like him, more recent converts. He actually got two Moderna shots when COVID vaccines became available, but before that,
when the pandemic hit, I put in $1 million of my own money and raised another $5 million. We started the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund, and we started funding early treatments.
The goal was to run trials on existing treatments that might help combat the virus. And at first, the project brought together highly respected scientists. But according to reporting by MIT's Technology Review, Kirsch eventually began to clash with the researchers. The studies weren't turning up any useful treatments. 2 years and $2 million later, he's here, mic in hand, hoping to organize a sustained legal insurgency against public health agencies, drug manufacturers, hospitals, and schools. Attorney Pete Serrano traveled from Washington State, where he represents three doctors accused of spreading false statements about COVID-19. He says finding a supportive community of lawyers and experts he can call for help is monumental.
You know, it really felt like it was me against the world, even though there were probably maybe half a dozen to a dozen lawyers in Washington fighting. It's extremely lonely. It's extremely difficult.
Conference organizers asked reporters not to record entire presentations, but one thing Serrano and other attendees heard again and again from speakers, in this room, you're among heroes.
There are people who are tremendously intellectually talented and gifted in so many ways who are using those talents to fight for your rights, to fight for my rights.
The fights include everything from suing educators to demanding vaccine status be made a protected class, like race or sexual orientation. Thousands of lawsuits pushing back against public health measures have been filed since the pandemic. The goal here is to bring those lawyers together, study all that legal spaghetti on the wall, and analyze what has worked and what hasn't. Probe for weak points in the law, build a network of experts and plaintiffs, and, they hope, inspire new laws. Conference organizers like attorney Warner Mendenhall want to ensure a steady supply of lawyers who see opportunity here.
I hate to say this, but greed is good in this instance.
Mendenhall is speaking here on a Zoom webinar promoting the event.
So if lawyers can see that they can get rich, and we're trying to prove that you can, we haven't yet, but we will, it'll bring lawyers in simply for the money.
Fears about vaccines are not new. The current legal structure around them is the result of a wave of lawsuits in the 1970s and 80s. It tries to balance individual freedom with public health needs, according to Anjali Deshmukh. She's a pediatrician and professor of administrative law at Georgia State University.
It's not only about protecting us, but it's about protecting our community. And that's a different calculus, where it's now within the government's interest to make sure that these diseases are not spreading.
But the law is not fixed, she says. Well-funded, well-organized groups can be a powerful force.
And I think like we saw with Roe v. Wade, you had a case that was passed 50 years ago and then had various chips away at it until the ground crumbled.
The civil rights movement, organized labor, and women's rights advocates have all relied on a potent mix of court battles and ground campaigns to sway public sentiment.
The court of public opinion is more important than I think we give credit to in both law and medicine. We can have all the science in the world. We can have laws that make sense, but laws change. Science is not always convincing when you're coming from a place of fear.
She points out cases don't even have to succeed in court to have an impact. Deshmukh says these lawsuits also come at a time when the Supreme Court is weakening the powers of many regulators. In a few days, the national emergency that prompted a wave of public health regulations is set to end. So keeping COVID-related grievances alive in the courts helps sustain the larger movement against vaccines.
Stand up and say the truth, especially when it's not popular.
Pete Serrano, the lawyer from Washington State, says the kinds of cases that brought him here may wind up being the bulk of his work for years.
I plan on being that 80-year-old guy talking about what it was like in the 2020s and COVID-19 and telling some young whippersnapper lawyer about how we did it back when.
He says it's great to live in a country where you can sue the government to keep it in check. Lisa Hagan, NPR News.